Thank you very much. This is the fifth lecture hour of the 22nd American ACC, and this is somewhere in the vicinity of probably the 4th of January, 1961. We've been talking about an E-meter here in these first hours of lecture and demonstration and use of the E-meter. And you today probably were on pre-session 37. If you didn't get on to pre-session 37, there's no hope for you. If you and auditor take this long to get going, you just obsessively comlag them, that's all. Are you on pre-session 37 with your PC?
Yes.
You are. Did you get 5 minutes in or 8 minutes in? You realize you're not getting in any time on it. It's just obsessive dodging, just an unwillingness to invade somebody's privacy. You realize that. But I don't want to talk to you crossly. I've been talking to you very crossly. I've been very mean with you. And the general problem with an E-meter and clearing and pre-session 37 and that sort of thing is you can't run a case without an E-meter, and running one without one would be pretty poor indeed. That is, scientologically speaking, your pre-session 37 is not runnable without an E-meter. You can't sit there and take on faith that your PC has got off his withholds. You got the idea? So then, scientologically, you can't start a case. Scientologically, you can't get a case going without an E-meter. Now, this probably upsets a stable datum of yours because you think Dianetically you can't get a case going without an E-meter, and that's not right. You can get a case going without an E-meter. Dianetically. You can. You hear me now? Done it very, very successfully and actually gotten myself a considerable lot of wins. The somatic strip obeys the auditor better than it obeys the preclear because it is dominated, the bank is dominated by, quote, other determinism. The bank is dominated by other determinism. The common denominator of the bank is other determinism. And the one thing the bank ain't got in it is other determinism. And this interesting paradox makes it a bank. Your bank's full of people, isn't it? Any people in your bank? No, they're not. There are no other people in your bank. You've mocked up pictures of other people, so therefore the bank seems to consist of other determinism. Got it? So therefore, and I've said this for 11 years, but it's the first time I ever gave anybody an explanation for it, the bank obeys the auditor before it obeys the PC. You can tell the bank to go anywhere, and it'll do anything. You can even cause it to mock up or not mock up before the PC can. You got that? Oh, man, I'm getting the awfulest stares here. Come out of it! Come up to present time. Get on the ball here. I noticed that faint patter of clapping I got when I came in, and I said, boy, I bet they ain't here. So, here, Thetan, here, Thetan, here, Thetan. Do you know what a bank is? You know what a reactive bank is?
Yes.
You know why it's called a bank? It's named after an electronic computer's mechanism for the storage of information. There are the standard banks of the computer and the hidden banks of the computer. A reactive mind is therefore slangily referred to as a bank. These big electronic computers have huge file cases full of punched cards. And they call that whole battery of cases a bank. Got it? Well, that's why we call it a bank. We got you that far? It's in people's minds. I got you that far? I'll be pleasant, I'll guarantee. I'll be nice. People have pictures. You ever hear the facsimiles? Engrams? Locks? Secondaries? Chains? You know all this, huh? Well, then, think about it and pay some attention and understand what I'm saying. Now, this bank, this collection of, should be 3D, usually is about 1.5D, masses and pictures and scrambles and messes and so forth. It's circuits and machineries and electronics and adventures and misadventures and wrongnesses and black screens and occlusions and invisible fields and fields that have little rocket ships going across them one by one. This is what I'm talking about. It's what the PC looks at when he closes his eyes and you say, what are you looking at? And he says, nothing. And you say, yes, but what does it look like? All right, now this consists of electronics. These are standing ridges, these are suspended masses, and so forth. Actually, they are created in this instant by the PC. They are not stored anyway or anywhere, which is the thing back of a bank. An electronic computer has to have a bank. All a thetan has to have is obsessive creativeness. These pictures aren't stored anywhere. If you ever thought that over, that's the truth of the matter. It's not stored anywhere. There is no picture storage anywhere. I've suspected this for a long time, actually since about 1931, but it was demonstrated conclusively about 1958. They are not stored. They are mocked up. Just as you ask somebody to mock up a dog, a pig, a cow, so does he obsessively mock up a picture when something reminds him of it, okay? What makes him mock it up? Now, the thing that makes him mock it up is the restimulator, an associative restimulator or a restimulator. For instance, he's been your standard run-of-the-mill humanoid, and he's gotten himself electrocuted at Sing Sing. So he's all fine, and he sits down one day in a waiting room, and he gets a buzzing in his head. And it buzzing, and all of a sudden there is a leaping sensation of electricity from his feet to the top of his head, to his feet to the top of his head, to the feet. And somehow or another he's gotten sick somehow, mysteriously, and somebody says he took a chill, or he got a profound emotional shock, or something of this sort. Got the idea? Well, this all becomes inexplicable except for one thing. One thing makes it explicable. The chair on the other side of the door was the exact shape and size, but minus electrodes, of an electric chair at Sing Sing. So he sits down, he takes a look at this chair. He doesn't see the chair because he can't confront it. He's the total effect of the chair, so he never sees his restimulators, okay? It just so happened that at the moment he sat down and looked at the chair, a person dressed very like a prison guard walked in the front door. Actually, it was the doorman. And he saw these two things simultaneously, and he got the idea that he was in the prison again, being electrocuted, and he created the whole facsimile, the flow of electricity and everything else, and this gave him the somatic. Got it? He didn't have it stored anywhere. But an associative restimulator was stored in the physical universe, a chair and a guard. See this? Well, people who are suffering acutely, continuously, and all the time from somatics are all the time continuously, acutely faced by restimulators. They've always got a restimulator in their environment. Now, one young man that had asthma, he had been taken to the mountains, and he'd been taken to the mountains continuously and obsessively by his parents at vast cost ever since he was a little child, because the medicos kept telling him that he had to be taken to the mountains and so on, and they'd been taking him to the mountains. I don't know what this had to do with asthma, but they sure took him to the mountains. And they were all happy taking him to the mountain. Maybe his mother wanted the vacation. I've never quite gotten down to that. Anyway, they kept taking him to the mountains, and one day I ran birth on him, and just as he was born and as he was taking his first breath, the nurse came over and threw the night blinds aside and put the window totally up. Blasting scream of ice-cold, snow-driven air came into the room. The restimulator for his asthma was fresh, cool air. So he was always being taken to the mountains to get fresh, cool air. That was the restimulator. You got it? See how this mechanism works. Now, I'm giving you actually a very condensed, but much more positive and accurate example. Not so much more accurate, but I'm giving it to you with more factualness. Really, then you get it even in Dianetics, Modern Science, and Mental Health. That is a bank, that's what it comes from, and so forth. All right. Now, those things he has been the effect of, continuously been the effect of, are most easily contained in the pictures. It's an overwhelm. He's overwhelmed, you see, by something. Now, perhaps you could do this to somebody. You could show him a small juju doll, you know, a little witchcraft doll of some kind or another. You could push this witchcraft doll at him and push this witchcraft doll at him and push this witchcraft doll at him and push it at him and push it at him and push it at him. All the while, he couldn't get away. You fix it up so he couldn't get away, too. And you push the doll at him 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 and you push the doll at him. Well, the first thing is he starts being afraid of the doll. In other words, he can't outflow against the doll. He can't do anything to it. Therefore, it's apparently superior to him. He can't leave it. He can't get away from it. So the doll becomes a fearful thing to him. In other words, he goes down tone scale with regard to this thing which is being pushed at him. Well, it's pushed at him more, and it's pushed at him more, and it's pushed at him more. And if it were red hot, and he was being obsessively held there, and it was actually giving him a somatic or something, he would all, sometime after, I don't know, we'll just say some theoretical period of time, he was held there for many days or years, actually, with his doll being shoved at him, he would all of a sudden obsessively mock up the doll. And if this kept up for a while, he would obsessively mock up the doll totally solid, visible as these pillars in this room. Follow me? He couldn't help but mock up the doll. The doll now has ceased to even be other determinism. The doll is himself. Now, this is what is known as an obsessive creation of a body, and this is one of the methods of making a body. Now, in view of the fact that this wouldn't work at all unless he'd done it to some other Thetan who had made him think that it worked, it's the motivator of an overt motivator sequence. Therefore, you find a dog fancier very often indistinguishable physiologically from the dogs. Have you ever noticed that people who favor Doberman pinchers look like Doberman pinchers? Have you ever noticed this fact? Did you ever notice that husbands and wives begin to pick up from each other similar characteristics? Right? All kinds of oddities of this character take place that you can observe superficially. But factually, if you were to hit a soldier with a cannonball long enough and often enough and so forth, he would have a real solid cannonball. It would be awful solid to him. He wouldn't have to mock it up visibly in the physical universe because that's really super duress. I'm just talking about the mild currents and pains and agonies and explosions of battle, you see. He's been a cannoneer all during some long whole track series of lives, you see. He's a wonderful cannoneer. And he just kept blowing up people and blowing up cities and so forth. And very often he'd miss and get shot in return, you see, failed overts. And then he gets into another long series of lives, and these are extremely interesting to him because he gets very fixated about it because he can't even walk down the street without the press gang seizing him and putting him in the army. And then somehow or another, he never gets into the artillery. He only gets into infantry. And somehow or another, he never gets into a battle without getting killed with a cannonball. In other words, he's softened up to have that overt work backwards on him as a motivator. He's softened up. So there he is being shot with cannonballs. And of course, he shot lots of people with cannonballs. And he's gotten lots of people fixated on cannonballs. And boy, does he get fixated on cannonballs. And you look around this guy's bank, you're likely to find a great big black hard mass. And after a long period of auditing, he suddenly cognites that it's a cannonball. It's not a circuit or anything. It's just a cannonball. Second you disturb it, it moves in on him, or something like this. The one thing he can't keep off from himself is a cannonball. The way he keeps it off from him is keep it mocked up so that it's off from him. How to protect yourself from a cannonball is to create a cannonball and then hold it off of you. He's very sensible, if Thetan is, about some of these things when he gets to a certain low order of reaction. You got this, though? The United States fights Japan, and fights Japan, and fights Japan, and fights Japan, and fights Japan. Actually, it was the United States that opened up Japan and made it warlike, so don't be surprised that Japan sank the fleet at Pearl Harbor. Because we'd been inhibiting Japanese fleets for a long time, and we even shot some of them up. We're having a good time over the period of years. But anyhow, we lost our fleet at Pearl Harbor when we were trying to keep Japan from expanding and so forth. And there's probably all kinds of whole track mechanisms involved here. And there have probably been lots of Japans in the United States, and who knows. But anyway, down goes the fleet at Pearl Harbor, and in we go against Japan. And we mop up Japan and eventually explode an atom bomb around their heads. Well, the Japanese now will do two things. They see an atom bomb. They know what to do. They practically fall down dead. A Japanese fishing crew only has to approach an atomic bomb test area to all get sick with atomic fission. They didn't even have to get any atomic fission. They just have to get the idea because, you see, they realize that that's what caves them in. They know. And they've been taught that. All right, the next step here is that the United States somehow or another can't now hold off Japan. And everywhere you look in new contemporary garden planning and so forth, you see an extremity of Japanese gardening. After World War I, when we wore English helmets with whom we'd had the last serious foreign war, after World War I, we started wearing German helmets. And if you look over our troops today, you'll find there's a great many Germanic military evolutions and characteristics mixed up in the military. Well, that's because when the Germans were going down to dust, they were putting an awful lot of stuff over at our troops that our troops obsessively began to mock up. And this was very easy for them to do because they were obsessively putting a lot of things over the Germans that the Germans were supposed to mock up, and away we went. But it didn't stop just because peace was declared. I was over in Aachen, many years. I guess it was 8 years after the war. There's rubble all over the streets, and you hardly couldn't walk down the streets, almost, except some of the thoroughfares had been cleared, but a great many of them were still jammed with rubble, houses caved in all over the place, and so on. And you ask some... During the war, we called them Krauts, and after peacetime, they again became Germans. It's very funny. And you ask some citizen of Aachen, Why don't you clean up the rubble? He says, well, there's not enough people. They all got killed. And you say, well, all right, but where'd all the rubble come from anyhow? And he says, well, the American Air Force. And you say, well, not the American Air Force totally and entirely. Oh, yes, the American Air Force. Well, sure, you've got enough people to clean it up. Oh, no, no, they've all been killed. They were all killed by the American Air Force. And you say, now, wait a minute. There was British planes, and there was Russian planes, and there were all kinds of planes of various kinds came in over Aachen. Oh, no, 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 yes, oh, no, no, it was all American Air Force. All American Air Force. The total economy of West Germany is American. It's fascinating, you know. So here's two warring forces putting up mock-ups for the other fellow to mock up. And actually, if they'd been good mock-ups both ways, these would both be better nations. But as a result of the war, Japan isn't a better nation, Germany isn't a better nation, and this one isn't a better nation. That's because they obsessively threw bad mock-ups at each other. Everybody was telling one another to put up bad mock-ups. See, so they're trying to compensate for this one way or the other. You see how this enforced created is. A thetan will create that which overwhelms him. And that's the law of the bank. But for anything to overwhelm him, he must have overwhelmed with it. And that's the law of life. When you look at a bank, then, a bank first has overts of the same nature that makes it potential. A person gets a potential bank then. And then he gets motivators and he obsessively starts mocking these things up. Okay? And he keeps mocking them up, mocking them up. And you get a bank and it's full of facsimiles, it's full of pictures. Out of this exact anatomy, we have a use of this machine. But that bank is all full of other determinism. You see, he wasn't pushing the juju doll at himself when he obsessively began to mock it up. He wasn't pushing the doll at himself. This wasn't what he was doing. Somebody else, he says, was pushing the doll at him. Therefore, the doll is somebody else's, and somebody else is pushing the doll. So therefore, a picture of the doll is best and most easily moved by somebody else, because in the picture itself, it's being moved by somebody else. You got it? So you, the auditor, are sitting there, and you tell the doll to move, and it shifts. But he tells it to move. It doesn't move because he has no power over this doll. This doll has caused his intentions to fail, so he has no intention with regard to the doll. So he says to the doll, move. And the doll doesn't move in the picture form. And you, the auditor, say to him, all right, the doll will move, and the doll moves. Get this crazy fact. When you tell a PC to go to January the 4th, 1948, 3 o'clock in the afternoon, he goes. He may not know that he went. Now, you're being silly when you ask him if he went. It's courteous and so forth, but it's actually superfluous. His knowingness on the subject is junior to your command. Now, if you keep plowing it up and tell him to go through from 3 o'clock to 3:05 on that afternoon of January the 4th, 1948. Very good. Go to 3 o'clock and go on through to 3:05. Now, you happen to have picked it up at random. You just picked a date at random, and you tell him to go through those that little five-minute time span, and the next doggone thing you know, the room he was in and everything he was doing will develop, and all of his memories from that period back and all of his knowingness of that immediate period will turn on if you keep at it. Why? That's because you are moving his bank and you are using his bank to some degree to overwhelm and regress him, and that if you keep at it long enough, he will regress. This even applies to a black case, which makes me feel rather odd about people that could never get a black case to do anything. The thing will open up. Never occurred to you, I guess, to tell the blackness to move on to the next day. It's Sounds silly when I put it that way, doesn't it? Well, I myself was sweating over research on black cases, so the joke's on me, too. Don't feel too bad. Now, a thetan most easily mocks up energy and masses. Although he can mock up all kinds of things, he mocks up energies and masses very, very easily. And energies and masses have resistances or negative resistances because they're standing waves and so forth, and this E-meter reads them. And I don't care if the psychologist says it reads only sweat or saliva, which he does. He says it reads sweat. I think the person least able to speak from experience about sweat would be a psychologist. Now, here's this situation, then, that you say to him, January the 4th, 1948, 3 o'clock in the afternoon, and this E-meter will then read what appears. Got that? Now, to that degree, it reads what you say. But look, just as I said, the restimulator for this fellow's asthma was fresh air, this person is surrounded by messed universe restimulators. Even while you're asking him on the meter, the chair is already telling him about his grandmother's sitting room because it looks like that. The levelness of the floor reminds him of something else. The class of light on the ceiling, the color of paint on the walls, the picture that is hanging over the table. All of these various items, one after the other, are associative restimulators for something. And some of these associative restimulators are powerful and suggest bad things. Some of them suggest fairly good things, and he gets a kind of a mixed up bank. But he's getting orders all over the place, all the time. These are other determinisms. They're messed other determinisms, you see. So they're moving his bank around, and they give him a permanent bank. This gives you the apparency of a bank persisting, a bank continuing to be there. But we know from fundamentals of thought that the cycle of action, create, survive, destroy, is really made up of create, 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 counter-create. That's what makes up create, survive, destroy. It's all create. This physical universe is being created all the time. It has to be created all the time. That's why it's only in present time. Interesting, isn't it? Now, wherever you look in the physical universe, you're going to see matter, energy, space, time, form, and location. And some categorized version of these things, one or more of them, suggests below the level of his awareness. Why do we say below the level of awareness? We should say beyond the level of his awareness, because he can't look directly at something of which he is the total effect. He doesn't see it. It gets thin. It'll disappear, you see. It's not below the level of his awareness. It's actually beyond the level of his seeingness. He doesn't see it. He can't confront it because he's overwhelmed by it. So therefore, he'll look through the room and he will miss all of his restimulators. And you ask somebody, name the objects of this room. And he will name all kinds of objects but miss the bright red scarf that is hanging on the side of the table. And he just never will mention this red scarf. But if you run him on, where's the ceiling, where's the floor, or feel the ceiling, feel the floor, or something of the sort, and increase his level of awareness of this room, because the scarf isn't doing anything to him, he'll get it suddenly unassociated, not disassociated, but he'll get unassociated from the engram, and he'll suddenly say, what do you know? There's a red scarf on the table. I just noticed it. Isn't that very funny? And isn't that remarkable that I never saw that red scarf before? There it is on the table. Well, he's got it plowed out of his engrams, don't you think? Now, you can perform this experiment. It's the easiest experiment you ever saw. You just start locating. The best thing is point out something in this room, if you're going to do this as an experiment. You just say, point out something in this room, and he points out something, and then just notice that somehow or another he never points out the table that's right in front of him. And then as he goes on doing it, He'll find more and more objects in the room. But what he's doing is keying the restimulators off of his bank. He's keying them out. So he finds more and more objects. And if you keep this up with a strange PC who isn't genned in on it, he will all of a sudden, quite routinely, pull this gag. He'll all of a sudden pull this gag. He'll say, what do you know? There's a red scarf there. Remarkable. It's funny, I never saw that red scarf before. Now, as he spotted the red scarf, if you had him on the meter would have gone flick and probably would have come down on tone. The tone arm would have gone down a slight bit. Why? Because the facsimile that is keyed in and held in by the red scarf is something he is creating because of the red scarf, and when he ceases to create the thing, he gets less reading on it because he's creating less mass. Now, the electronics boys will tell you the more mass there is, the less resistance there is. Isn't that what they say? Isn't that the law? The law is so cockeyed, it's hard for me to remember it. It's something on the order of saying the more people there are in the subway, the easier it is to walk through the subway. It might be true electronically, I don't know. But factually, the less mass for our purposes in the bank, because one of the purposes of the bank is to resist. The basic intention of the bank is to resist. Actually, the resistance, pun there, that's a totally unintentional pun, the resistance of the bank drops when the quantity of bank lessens. Okay? So as you take the bank out, the tone arm goes down. As the bank is in, the tone arm is up. Now, this meter then registers the bank that is in, or that is called in, by the physical universe, the immediate life and surroundings and environment and associations of the individual, and by you. See, the fellow's friends, business, other things can be persistently keying things in. And then you come along, and you key something in too by asking him questions. So you're part of the key-in mechanism, as far as he's concerned. Yours has a good purpose, and theirs doesn't. Theirs has no purpose, except his wife. She always has a purpose, he says. And you ask wives, and you'll find out the husband always has a purpose in keeping them keyed in and stirred up and worried. I've asked husbands and wives about this, and those are normally the questions, the way they answer the question. Now, this mechanism of key it in is the mechanism of measure. And as you get the fellow thinking about this and that, the fact that he's thinking associated thoughts to something causes him to obsessively mock up also in mass form with matter, energy, space-time, form, and location in his bank the associated thing that is associated with this thought in his bank. He thinks a thought. He says all women are good. He thinks this thought, and the fact that he's tried to think that thought, or has thought the thought, also causes him to create something, and if he knows this, if the experiential channel of life, see, a thetan's gotten lazy, he's keeping his, the way he's remembering is by creating and looking. And his experiential line is that every time he thinks some girl is sweet and innocent, why, she takes his purse. You know, that's his experiential line. So he knows this is a bad thought to think, so he counter-creates against this thought, and he thinks the thought, all women are good, and he gets a bunch of bad women. Got the idea? Because every time he's thought a woman was good, it seems to him, why, a bad woman has come up and proven it entirely incorrect. So, it's not even rational. It's just the fact all women are good brings up bad pictures. It's all part of the same incident. See that? It isn't that he has another little mechanism that keys off and goes whir click. There are no other gimmicks. It's just part of the picture of women is that when he thinks they're good, they prove they're bad. See? So the thinking they're good, he actually thinks this, and in view of the fact that thought has no time, unless it is declared to have, that has to be part of the postulate, why he thinks all women are good, bad picture women. See, because the last time he said this, dear, sweet, innocent girl is a very good girl, actually, and the police are just being unjust. And therefore, I'm going to rescue her. And he looked down sadly upon his body a few hours later because it had a stiletto between its shoulder blades. You might say, this is proven to him. But then you ask him to think the thought, all women are good, and this was near the thought that he thought when this other incident or type of incident occurred to him, you see. So when he thinks this thought, he gets the other thought, see? Which is the mock-up mass. So he sees this picture, which is contrary to it. Now, the bank consists entirely of failed intentions. You see, he intended the juju doll to go away, but it didn't. Therefore, he gets a picture of a juju doll. So that failed intention is the common denominator of a bank. When he thinks this thought, all women are good, and he gets a picture of a bad woman, bing, bing, all he's doing there is picking up the failed intention part of the situation. Now he tells the engram to go away, and it doesn't budge. Why? Because he's in the middle of a failed intention. But you tell it to go away, and it budges. Why? Because in the presence of a failed intention, there is usually a successful intention from another determinism. And what you do is key in the successful intention. So it's your postulate stick on the PC, when he's being a PC particularly, and his don't. Got it? But you're auditing him to get him so that he doesn't have an association between thinking all women are good and getting bad women. He can actually think the thought, all women are good, without getting any reaction from it. Then he doesn't mock up at the same time bad women. You got it? And all you'd have to do is get him to think this thought, all women are good, all women are good, all women are good, all women are good, and you'd wear that out of the package, leaving him free to think the thought that all women were good. And that's what auditing is. What you do is wear out the postulates and so forth and flatten out the failed intentions. So they're no longer of any importance. You desensitize these things. I'm speaking Dianetically now. This does, incidentally, increase his ability and so forth, but in view of the fact that you, the auditor, operating him on this way and without any, this is with just a blackjack, you just decide that you're tired of this fellow saying that having these pictures of all of these horrible women jumping around in front of him and so forth, you decide to get rid of this, so you just audit it out. You see? The mechanism ceases to exist. It's practically on your determinism that it ceases to exist, and the PC's choice in its cessation of existence is minimal. Therefore, you don't particularly improve his ability, even though you improve and fix up his bank. You got it? He couldn't thank you for doing this any more than a radio set ever thanks you for getting fixed. So that's why these guys don't normally go into paeans of praise, just because you take away a somatic. You actually haven't improved their ability to any great degree. You've deleted a somatic on this key-in mechanism on the bank. Got it? Do you see how mechanical this is? Well, in view of the fact that it's terribly mechanical, you can look at the PC. Yeah, he's got a bad leg. And you look at him and you say, all right, Get the idea. You could do this dozens and dozens of ways. You say, well, get the idea of injuring somebody's leg, or whose leg have you injured, or something of that sort. And you're undercutting. See, you're picking up his overt. And you say, well, bad leg. Get the idea of hurting somebody else's leg, something like that. He's in the incident. Now, all happens is with an e-meter is the e-meter checks it. But, of course, he really isn't in the incident because you said so. You have brought his attention more closely to the incident because he wouldn't have a bad leg unless he had an incident about a bad leg. You got it? Huh? The incidence of polio in the United States is an interesting subject here on this overwhelming the PC with a mock-up sort of thing. There was some chap, forgotten his name, Franklin, I think it was, or something like that. And he decided to be a victim sometime or another, and he was gimping around. And because he was greatly respected and loved and revered for all of the handouts he was given about corn and games, or was that Claudius or Augustus, why, everybody thanked him by getting polio. Now, he was overwhelming everybody, actually, one way or the other, with the tremendous bounteous outflow of the government. And don't be surprised that there was a tremendous resurgence of the disease that this man had. Don't be amazed about it at all. They even gave it tremendous quantities of publicity. Nobody ever heard of polio before this guy fell in. I don't even think he had polio. He probably spent his early youth breaking little dogs' legs or something. You got the idea? Of course, the germ theory then would be some mysterious explanation of it all. And then some overwhelming character, a doctor with an enormous horse syringe, you know. He goes around stabbing everybody with this, which kills all the disease. And then there's some chemical agreements, some lower level and so forth, and these are all made to agree, and you have a vaccination, which I think is effective. I think there's a considerable effectiveness to it, 25%, 10%, 8%. 22.5% effective. You know, even distilled water works on 22.5% of the people on the average. When the psychiatrists don't get 22.5% immediate cures, you can ask them this embarrassing question, what are you doing to lower your percentage? See, if they just went this way to all the insane people and they said, you're cured, 22.5% of them would become sane. They'd have to make some hocus-pocus about it. They'd have to say, well, I went to Cornell for a long time and was in an institution for years. And, of course, I studied for 12 years and naturally studied long enough to know all about this and so forth. And then he'd say, we learned from Russian, that if you went like this at a patient, why, he got well, 22.5% of the people get well. The witch doctors depend on this utterly. The hypnotist depends on this utterly because about 22.5% on an average of people of any class or level are hypnotic, suggestible. The same percentage of people get well in a country as are suggestible in hypnosis in that country. Interesting, isn't it? That probably means that 22% of the and a half percent of the thetans on the track, because this seems to be a fairly constant figure, went around hypnotizing people, and the people they were hypnotizing decided to fool them by becoming victims and saying they were hypnotized, and this convinced them they hypnotized people, you see. So it's probably 22.5%, or it was 11.25% hypnotized, 11.25%, who by making themselves into victims and telling the person who was hypnotizing them that they were hypnotized, you see, they'd become susceptible too, because that's a mock-up, that's an overt. Then you'd have the 22.5% cure. Got it? If you're just interviewing in a clinic someday, and there'll be people here possibly who will be doing this, you're just interviewing, don't be amazed if for every, or rather be amazed if for every 100 people 22 and a half of them. On the answer to a questionnaire, say that your interview made them well. They were tremendously benefited by it. If you interviewed 100 people and passed out a bunch of slips, some such percentage would write down on the slip, "How do you feel now?" The question would be on the slip. They'd say, "Well, the interview cured them," or "it made them much better." If that didn't happen to you, you must be working at it. You must be working at it in reverse. You'd have to keep telling them, "You're much worse after this interview," or something. Or you'd have to be damaging them or something. Or as you interview them, you have a long needle which shoots out from the forward edge of the interview table and stabs them in the stomach or some other psychiatric mechanism. You get what this is all about now. But the reason I can mention that then it doesn't follow that 22.5% of the banks follow the auditor's directions, however. This is another mechanism called suggestibility. Well, this isn't suggestibility that you're dealing with. A person can be wide awake and be thrown into an engram. You don't have to hypnotize people to throw them into engrams. The liability of a suggestible person presents an entirely new problem. He mocks up anything you say. Not his bank. He just mocks up anything you say. Anything. You say, "Well, what's wrong with you is the fact that you've met too many kangaroos." He will instantly have tremendous numbers of pictures of kangaroos. Now, you can suggest to people. Now, I know some of you people got pictures of kangaroos at that moment, but I remember I'm me. Now, you can do this. You give people an example. Here's an example of the reactive mind. Reactive mind is not a suggestibility. Hypnotism adds something to it. This obsessively creates what anybody is... It creates anything that he's told to create. He's really overwhelmed, you see. Anything, anything, anything at all. You say the trouble with you is your Oedipus is 3.4 verniers to the left of your id. And I beg your pardon, that was Oedipus. Is 3.4 verniers left of your id, and that is the trouble with you, and that is the exact difficulty with you. And now we will just move it to 3.6 degrees to the right of your id, and you are going to be well, you see. Well, unfortunately, 77.5% of the people don't respond to this. You have to know your business. You can't fake it. In other words, you can't follow psychoanalytic procedure. You can't be a fraud about it. You've got to know your business. Therefore, any psychotherapy which upped this percentage must be handling the mind. But any psychotherapy that got that was simply getting the same as the witch doctors and everybody who has been in the field of healing has always gotten. And any psychotherapy which got less percentage than that was damaging to the individual and wasn't therapy at all. You got that? So the second you move your gain above 22.5%, you are handling the mind. It's quite interesting to know, isn't it? Therefore, if you were only hitting 50%, for heaven's sakes, why, you'd know that you were actually doing something for the mind. See that? Figures I'm giving you aren't figures I've just dreamed up, by the way. They're figures I picked up from medical research libraries and so forth, and medical reports and psychiatric reports and all that sort of thing, hypnotist reports and so on. I condensed this data a long time ago. The data I'm giving you probably is out of the year 1945 and a little more data in 1948. This is all quite old. But it has a lot to do with this meter. Now, you tell a fellow to mock up a kangaroo, and you'll get the little reaction on the thing of mocking up the kangaroo. You know, when he mocks something up, you'll get a flick, you'll get an electronic response on the meter. He's creating it, you understand, but it is already a picture that has overwhelmed him. It's part of his experiential pattern, not part of his obsessive creation pattern, see? Well, it's not part of his synthetic creation pattern, rather. It is part of his obsessive creation pattern. He's been in a war, and you mentioned rifles, and he gets a hell of a drop. Well, the speed with which he gets the drop tells you the persistence. For instance, you say rifle, and he's got a drop. You got the idea? Well, that means he's in it. Now, if he'd been in a war sometime in the past, but it's not in restimulation, you could keep telling him about rifles and so forth. You'd eventually be able to work him down the track into getting a drop. You got the idea? See, there's a difference here. But the very things I've been talking to you about register on this meter. The meter is not vitally necessary, however, for the location of an engram, because you can tell the individual to go to the engram necessary to resolve the case, run him through it a little bit, ask him what he's looking at, and find out about it, and you can go from there. You got it? That can be done. We were doing it in 1950, long before Saunders and Matheson and so forth came along. As a matter of fact, I very often audit cases by looking at their pictures. I hate to have to tell you that. But I, in the interest of honesty, no gag, just in the interest of honesty. I'm not encouraging you to do it. I'm not saying it's of great value. I get impatient with a PC after a while because he's ignoring what's sitting right in front of his silly face. You know, I get impatient with him after a while and look at his pictures. I'll peek. Well, that's no substitute for an e-meter, because you start peeking at PC's pictures and doing lots of hocus-pocus in this particular direction, why, you're actually in his bank, and all sorts of things. There's no particularly bad consequences for it, but just easier ways to do it. Now, this will tell you whether or not he can see them. But when you look at his bank, you don't know whether or not he can see them. You can see them, but this doesn't prove anything. But you can confront his pictures. It's not too strange. But factually, he might have some pictures you don't care to confront either, so you just won't bother to audit those unless you use a meter. Because you can see the meter, you don't have to look at the picture. You got the idea? Now, a meter is very accurate and very valuable in locating incidents necessary to resolve the case. You can follow through a line of questioning. You can make the PC confront what he is not confronting by seeing it register on the meter, and then taking the charge off of it. It also tells you when he thinks it's flat, because the meter stops reacting. Now, this PC has gimped in the session. He's going... And you say, all right, now, it's all right with you. Begin the session now. Well, you've got him halfway through formula 15. He's not about to complete formula 15. He's going... I'll tell you a fast way to get rid of it. That's a PT problem, isn't it? PC comes into session with some kind of a somatic or something of the sort. Well, you just find out when this... started up and what he was looking at the time, and you'll find the thing on the meter that he almost couldn't confront, and you'll find out what turns on his cough, and you run the last turn on of the cough, click, 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 and then a little bit later, if you've got a little bit of time, flatten that particular activity. This is real slippy present time problemming. It's brand new, even though it's very old. But it is very slippy. Give you an actual case history. PC. Finishing the day's work of interviewing. Terrible pain in the back. Auditor Well, when did this turn on? Puts the PC on the meter, see? PC's been interviewing all day, see? Auditor puts the PC on the meter. When did this turn on? Well, I think it was, must have been, I noticed it first at 2 o'clock. Yes, when did it turn on? Well, I noticed it first about 2 o'clock. Well, did it turn on earlier than that? Click, goes the E-meter. Well, how much earlier? 10 o'clock, 11 o'clock, 11:30? No, 11:30, somewhere around 11:30, plus or minus 11:30. Was it 11:45? Closer to 11:45? 11:15? Oh, 11:15. Well, is it just before 11:15? Just after 11, just before 11:15? 11:10? Now, actually, all you're doing is moving the time track by calling time, don't you see? But it's telling you which way to go to move the track, so it's piloting track for you, you see? All 11:11. Well, imagine that. 11:11. Is that it? Ah, boy, that's it. All right, what are you looking at? Not what were you looking at. Don't be a knucklehead, you see. You've just moved him into 11:11. What are you looking at there?
Well, I'm looking at this fellow, and he's sitting there.
What's he talking about? Clang! He goes the meter. He's talking about marital problems. What'd he say about marital problems?
Oh, he said, oh, yap, 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 yap. I get so tired of people talking about their marital problems all the time. Everybody has marital problems. When they decided to get married, why didn't they also decide to be happy?
All right, now look, that isn't the trick. Just locating the marital problem, that'll do something. But that tells you what turned it on. By finding when it was turned on and what he's looking at, you find what turned it on. Got it? Now, you ask, for what overt or unkind thought did you think about him while he was telling you that?
Oh, well, yes, I thought... I also thought, you silly ass, and so forth.
Well, did you say any of these things to him?
Oh, no.
Well, now, what were you withholding there, then? Well, what was I withholding? Well, I was obviously withholding the yeah, and the and so forth, and so on. Well, all right, that's real good. Your meter's cooling right on off.
Pure magic. Pure magic. The somatic doesn't exist. It's gone.
You dig it? Now, a little bit later... Or if you just want to make a production out of it right there, you'll just find, what unkind thought have you thought about somebody else who had a marital problem, who was telling you about their marital problems, and flick out a lot of these, see? Flick out a lot of them up and down the track, and then if you really wanted to go for broke, you'd find some fundamental incident of some kind or another where they were really thinking vicious thoughts about marital problems. While they're lying in bed... with a very, very bad sickness, which is the exact sickness that continues to turn on thereafter. Got it? Knock it out. They'll never have any more difficulties being overt about marital problems. But the funny part of it is they will now be terribly tolerant about marital problems, be able to handle them for the first time. But that is using an E-meter to click out a PT problem in a hell of a hurry. Do you understand how it would be done? The only thing you're going to do is get too complicated. It's awfully simple. You find out when it turned on and what overt or unkind thoughts or actions the person engaged in at the moment that the thing turned on. Therefore, you find the type of thing that turns on these somatics. And then if you want to go a little bit further, just find some heavier incidents when it happened and run those overt actions and thoughts out during that circumstance. And that will be the end of that particular series of somatics. Thank you.